So let's go to verse 2. This is the parable. He said, "There was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, 'Get justice for me from my adversary,' and he would not for a while. But afterwards he said within himself, 'Though I do not fear God nor regard man, because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her by her continual coming to me, she weary me.'" So he was sick and tired of hearing from her, right? This says, though, the judge didn't fear God or man. He didn't even really care. He probably was very proud in his high position of judge and too hardened to even have compassion on this widow. We know from our studies in the Bible, widows were vulnerable at that time. If she had no children or family, she could be destitute with no way to take care of herself. Without family or friends to watch out for her, it would be easy to take advantage of her. So this widow probably felt pretty alone facing this powerful man. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever faced like government or politicians or places where, you know, people that have a lot more power than you do and you feel alone? Well, she felt like that, but she wouldn't give up. She went to that judge over and over again for justice. So after he ignored her plight for a while, she kept coming, and finally, the one that couldn't care less about her, about God, or about anybody else, gave her justice, okay? And again, if an ungodly judge gives justice to the friendless widow who keeps coming to him, how much more? It's like that. How much more does God want to answer our prayers if we keep praying and don't lose heart? So even if you haven't seen an answer, we don't give up. Then the Lord said, verse 6, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily." God answers the prayers of people who cry out to him day and night, to which we want to say what? Pray on. That's right. Sometimes we have to wait for the answer. He bears long with us. Sometimes that's what requires for his own good purpose in our lives. He's not leaving us wallowing and flailing. He's bearing with us while we wait. Even though we may feel alone, we're not alone. He will avenge us, answer our prayers, as soon as it is time and without delay. But we have to keep praying. We must. So flip back to Luke 11, and we're going to go to verses 9 and 10. As Jesus continues now to teach his disciples to persevere in prayer. Verse 9, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open." Jesus here invites us to ask and to seek and to knock with the promise of receiving answers. These action words are in the present imperative. If you sit under Pastor John, he uses this a lot and he's educated us well. But it means a command for an ongoing action. In other words, ask and keep asking. Seek and keep seeking. Knock and keep knocking. Notice the urgency of the prayer grows with each command. You're asking, then you're seeking, and then you're knocking, right? Many of us have had children, some of us have grown children, some of us are aunties and we've taken care of children or grandmas, and a lot of them have been home, you with young children, they've been home with you all summer. My granddaughter Ava loves ice pops, that's what she calls a popsicle, and she'll say, "Mom, I want an ice pop, Mom, Mom," and she's asking Mom, but if Mom doesn't answer, what is she going to do? She's going to go seek her out. She's going to run around the house. She's going to see if she's in the bedroom, see if she's in the laundry room. She's going to seek her out because she wants, "Mom, I want that popsicle. Can I have a popsicle? Mom, Mom," you know, till she drives her crazy. But then if she doesn't find her, maybe Mom is going to that one place where moms like to go for 5 minutes alone, you know, the bathroom, right? And what happens if she can't? You know, if she asks and then she seeks, what's she going to do? She's going to knock on that door, "Mom, I want a popsicle." So you see the progression of how the intensity grows there. we can all relate to that. And Ava usually gets her ice pop. Anyway. So let's see. Got ahead of myself. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now that sounds like God's going to answer our prayers, doesn't it? So, but sometimes we get discouraged and we don't understand why he doesn't. Jesus is imprinting these promises on our mind, and we don't want to throw them aside just because we haven't had an answer yet. Assurances that it should encourage all believers to pray and keep on praying. James said, we have not because we ask not. Pray on. Now, of course, these disciples understood, and we understand, there are parameters with prayer. Otherwise, God would be our genie in heaven and have to grant everything we say. Like, some, there are some people that sort of believe that if they speak it, it's going to happen. We call them the name it and claim it crowd, or the blab it and grab it crowd. Because we want what we want right now with no problems. But Jesus said in John 14:13-14, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He was telling his disciples that as they served the Lord and walked with him, they could ask him anything in his name and he would do it. Remember, the name means in line with his character, according to his will, so in and for his glory, but it doesn't mean we pray, oh God, I want that new car or that new house or that tall, handsome husband. Now, we haven't forgotten all you single girls out there. That's only for single girls, but in Jesus' name. God knows how bad it would be for us to give us what we think we want right now, you know. Oh, I want that one, you know, and he knows, and he's given the promise that those who seek and keep asking, keep seeking and keep knocking will get answers, okay? We don't want to admit it, but a lot of times, don't you, when you pray, you have a problem, and you have great ideas how it ought to work out. And so you tell all the Lord, Lord, if you just did it this way and told that person and did that, and you've got it all worked out in your mind. And don't we, because we're women and we know how things should work. We do. That's just how it is. We're kind of doers, at least a lot of us are. But God doesn't want us to go to him with those preconceived thoughts. We just have to lay that down and say, okay, Lord, how are you going to do this? Sometimes our answer is no, and we don't want to hear no any more than a four-year-old does. No, no ice pop, what? Okay, but no is an answer. He's way smarter than we are, right? He knows what's around the bend. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord to give me anything that isn't his will for me, no matter how good it looks or how much I want it in the moment. Because if I demand, sometimes I think people have demanded, and eventually God gives in and they realize what a mistake that is. So we got to trust him with those answers. He loves me. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your life. But let's wait. Let him choose what his will is instead of demanding our own way. Perseverance is required because there's timing involved in God's answer to prayer. Now, he may have every intention of answering yes to what your prayers are, every intention, but maybe the perfect time for the answer is 4 weeks from now. Maybe it's 4 months from now, 4 years from now. Oh, we hate that, right? We hate waiting. So it's wait. But in the meantime, he wants us to keep praying and not lose heart. We must keep asking, seeking and knocking. Psalm 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. God uses our prayers, we know this, to work on us through the asking, seeking, and knocking. He doesn't always reveal, a lot of times he doesn't, whether the answer is yes, no, or wait. Now, maybe that can seem a little hard, a little cruel to you, but he's working on our relationship with him. That's what he's doing. And sometimes it can feel like torture, but patience is being developed in us. That character trait that he wants, and our trust in him, our faith in him is growing in that. So we have to be brave and courageous and let him work on us while we wait for those answers. Now, have you ever had to go ask somebody to borrow something? Maybe a neighbor, you used to say a cup of sugar, but people don't do that anymore. But maybe you've run out of gas, or maybe you need help from someone, and we don't really like to ask people for help, do we? We like to take care of things ourselves. Well, it's humbling to ask people for things, and sometimes it's humbling for us to go to God and say, help me in this. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to answer it. And that humbling is good for us. Asking God humbles us. It reminds us we're dependent on Him. He likes us to depend. He likes that. We realize that He likes us to depend on Him. And it's more important to Him than getting the answer we want when we want it, which is always when, right now. We want the answer right now. Honestly, if we can do something ourselves again, we have no need to ask because we know we can get things done. So I encourage you to search the scriptures, too, for answers about what you're praying about. God will give you wisdom, little bits of truth that'll help you as you continue to pray, to show you how to pray. But don't open your Bible and point to the first thing you see, obviously. But as I do my daily reading and prayer, I can say sometimes God will speak to me about that long-term prayer to give me some encouragement, to keep me going, you know, so I don't lose heart. Our need causes us to seek and draw closer to God, the answer giver. If we got quick answers, we wouldn't be crying out to Him, wanting to understand His will and His ways. And Jesus knows that about us. He does. Psalm 27:8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Psalm 62:5, my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. So we turn to Him to wait and to watch with expectation. By faith, we expect Him to do the best thing, the right thing, the thing that's in His will. And I'm watching. That expectation's important. To not to stop expecting God and looking for God to answer, looking Him for Him to break through. Because if we'll do that, we won't lose heart in prayer. Well, you know, sometimes if I'm struggling with something I need to talk to the Lord about, I try to avoid it. Any of you like that? Especially if it's something I know He's going to correct me, or I don't want to hear it, or He's leading me in something, and I, you know. And yeah, the rest of you rebels, or is it just me? Come on. Well, God knows, and I would rather go out, to me, when I'm struggling like that, I go do something physical. I'm sort of a physical person. So I was in North Carolina a couple months ago praying about these things and praying about some issues, and I just, you know, I decided I had trees to trim, so I went out there with my big loppers, and I'm trimming low branches. Trees are grow crazy all around us. They're tall and skinny, lots of branches near the bottom, so I'm making it look good, trimming branches. And then I'm, you know, dragging them down to the forest because we're on about 4.5 acres, so it wasn't a quick walk. And it's 95 with 95% humidity, sweat running down, mosquitoes biting my... I would rather do that, something physical sometimes, than sit before the Lord. And we have to wrestle ourselves back and say, okay, God, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to listen to You. So if any of you are like me, I just want to encourage you. We can do that. Okay. Waiting on the Lord with expectation is well worth it. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. He wants us to knock, to enter His presence purposefully, especially in the midst of trouble. And I mentioned Hebrews 4:16 last night. He gives us an invitation to boldly go before His throne, you know, in our prayers, in our thoughts, to receive mercy for our failures and the grace, the strength to get up and do whatever He's telling us to do. Don't let discouragement or distraction keep you from entering God's throne room in prayer, because it cost Jesus so much to give it to you, didn't it? Cost Him a lot. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We will never fully mine the depths of who He is in this life. It doesn't matter how long you've been a believer, but as we pray more and more, our prayer life and our relationship with God is going to be growing. David had a longing to know and understand God better. The Lord wants this to, for all of us, but you hear it in Psalm 63. He says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My flesh or my soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory." David sounds like a person who was continually asking, seeking, and knocking. Now, we know he had devastating failures. A lot of us have had failures and devastating ones. But because many of his psalms are filled with requests for God to deliver him, to forgive him, to help him, and some of you may be here now that are going through that. But we can hear that through his prayers. The more he pressed in, the more God increased his hunger and thirst to know God. It's beautiful. So instead of avoiding church or God's people, he looked for the Lord in the sanctuary. We need one another. So sometimes when we're struggling, we tend to stay out of fellowship. We tend to stay out of church. But that's really not good for us. We need one another. When you come back, you're not going to find people that go, "Where have you been?" You know, and give you a hard time. Now, if somebody does that, call Heather or Christy. They'll give them what for. We want everybody to come back and enjoy the fellowship because we all fall short. We all have struggles in many ways, and God just wants us to come back. So let's go back to Luke 11, and we're going to read verses 11 to 13. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Once again, Jesus uses a scene that's familiar, a child asking his father for something to eat, a hungry child, right? Parents, most parents, unless they're extremely wicked, no matter, you know, how they are, they're not going to deny their children food. Right? Most parents would never do that. They love their children and give them good gifts. Jesus doesn't deny that even bad men can do good as far as it coming to feeding their children. But this is a contrast between God and men. Again, even if an ungodly man will give good gifts to his children, how much more will our Heavenly Father do so? I see something else here, and you know, I don't know if I'm stretching or not, but I saw this. These gifts Jesus describes, if the child is hungry and the father gives a stone, a snake, a scorpion, doesn't that sound kind of cruel? Sounds a little cruel and disheartening to a hungry child. Well, God will never be cruel with us. And sometimes when he doesn't answer us right away, we can feel that he is, but he's not. He's not like this an evil father. When we've not had an answer, we can misunderstand. Remember, though we may suffer, though we may wait, God is not never going to be cruel with us. We have to remember his character and his love for us. Remember, Abba loves us. He's good and kind. He loved us so much, he gave his son to us. So then, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This teaching is also given in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7:11. I mentioned that last night. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So it's just slightly different. Out of all the good things we may be praying for, the Holy Spirit is the very best gift we could ask because God has bestowed that upon us to live in us, to help us walk with him, to help us be obedient, to give us strength. Paul commands us in Ephesians 5:18 to be filled with the Spirit. This is also that same tense, the present imperative, which means continually being filled with the Spirit. Present yourself to God to be filled, influenced, and empowered, led by the Holy Spirit. Now, we know if we're saved, we already have him inside. But we want when we pray to be filled, we're saying, okay, here I am. You know, fill me with your strength. Give me what you want to give me for today. Help me to walk with you. I present myself to you to obey you. We need to ask God to help us to be filled daily, even moment by moment. And this continual filling is obtained by prayer. His Spirit strengthens, encourages, edifies, and equips us so we will not give up, not only in prayer, but in this walk of faith that can get tough sometimes. You've all experienced sometimes it's hard, right? Okay. Having this gift, we have the Father's boundless love, Jesus' blood covering, which has made us clean, and full communion with all three persons of the Trinity. In Him, we have all we need. So we need to pray on. Now, just a few closing thoughts about persisting in prayer. It's far easier to begin a habit of prayer than to keep it up. Many Christians are taught to pray when they're young and full of faith. You know, we pray. And then, but gradually they pray less and less. Maybe that's some of you. I know I've gone through times like that, and sometimes we do. Lots of believers take up the habit of really, you know, storming heaven and praying their hearts out during a different difficult trial or season. But as that eases, little by little, the fire wears off, and at last they lay it down. Doubts sneak into our thoughts that there's really no use to pray. You know, we haven't seen an answer, no benefit. Why should we keep praying? And we can persuade ourselves that it's not really worth the effort. All lies from the pit, girls. God can be in the process of answering our prayers, but if we lose our focus, we can miss what He's doing. You know, have you prayed for something for a long time and then sort of lost it? And then has that ever happened to you? And then you see an answer come, but you didn't really appreciate it because you sort of dropped the ball in prayer. Simply, we need to be talking to God more than we do right now. Our special prayer times are important, but quick prayers can be frequent. Prayers often in time of need, like, Lord, encourage my husband today. He's lost his job. I know he's going to come home. It's going to be tough. Help me pay this bill. Give me wisdom as I go into this meeting with my son's teacher. You know, he's had trouble at school. Whatever it is, God cares about our small concerns too. And I found if I pray about those small things as I go through my day, then when the big things hit, I'm used to talking to Dad. I'm talking to him more, you know. And I'm encouraged for those long-term prayers. We have to, again, leave the timing and the answers to God. We've been promised that every petition we ask in faith will be answered. So let's wait. Let's wait on the Lord with expectation. The answer may be no, or the answer, though yes, may be a long time coming, as it was for Hannah. Do most of you know who Hannah was? In 1 Samuel, you're going to study 1 Samuel this year, Hannah went to the temple every year asking God for a child, and she was barren. She couldn't have one. And her husband had another wife who had children and taunted her, made her feel terrible. And she hurt over it. She'd go to the temple every year and she's crying and praying, and she was determined to keep asking. Now, God's answer was yes, but she didn't know it at first. He knew just the right time in history to send the prophet Samuel into the world. He knew how this mother would give him back to the Lord and prepare him for a lifelong ministry to the nation of Israel. And again, you're going to learn about him this fall. Samuel the prophet came as an answer to Hannah's prayer. God used him to represent God to the nation of Israel. You don't know what your prayers are going to do. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Let's resolve by God's grace that however poor and weak our prayers may seem to be, that we'll keep asking, we'll keep seeking, and we'll keep knocking. And someday we'll look back on the amazing things that God has done through our prayers. Amen? Let's what? All right, let's pray.